2208, my friends, and there you are.
Well, until the Beatles, we actually, well, I wore cocktail frocks, beautiful silk things with tight waists, like Al McLogan's frocks, you know. But I had to do all my programmes in England, so these programmes were recorded and flown out.
People thought you were in Luxembourg, didn't they?
I think they did. It was a big bluff, really. We did not know at EMI whether the Beatles were good, bad or indifferent. It was such an extraordinary sound. It was quite unlike anything we'd ever heard. And they all arrived to be interviewed in the show with the audience. And they all had terrible bad colds and they couldn't do this sound a single M or N. They were in a terrible state. And I had to interview John. And he was wobbling like a jelly. And I developed, not through John, but through all the people who were afraid, all the newcomers, the strongest left arm in the business, because I used to grab them in a vice-like grip with my left arm and stick the microphone under their noses. Otherwise, they would back away and we'd be up at the back of the stage with the scenery falling down. But John did go out to have a drink with Johnny Gustafson later, and Johnny told me that John Lennon had wobbled out, shaking from the heart out, and he said, "I've had the most terrible experience. This bleeding bird had to hold me up." And that was me. Of course, he got so blasé in the end. He was holding me up.